Happy Saturday. Wake up. It's time to rise and grind. Welcome back to the Weekend Grind Podcast, brought to you by Roto Grinders. I'm your host, Josh Sergiant, as always with my co-host, Mr. Chalk, Travis Mangone. Travis, how you doing today, buddy, on this Saturday?
Good. It's a DK Live final. People are excited about that, but they didn't get too much of an exciting slate. That's the sad part. Wish we could have a better one for it, but it's DFS. We always keep going, and there's always plays that we got to play. So excited to see how people do, and just root on Team Roto Grinders, and hopefully they do a good job there at the live final.
Yeah, absolutely, Team RG, and it is a nice live final out in Denver, one of the best cities, in my opinion. For the daily fantasy community, just so many great guys out there that push for the movement, and love traveling out there, seeing my good friends, and Coors Field, man, always a great time. But speaking of live finals, a couple weeks ago at the FanDuel live final in Chicago for the WFBC, I met a nice young man up and coming in the industry. Hit it off immediately with him, great kid, and we're gonna have him here guest on the show. He's here right now. Brandon, how you doing today, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you give a little, just a little history on yourself of how you landed into DFS and, pretty much what led you to the live final there in Chicago.
All right. Well, I kind of started playing fantasy when I was young, so got into fantasy football. Obviously, that's what most of us got into at first. So it was just typically season long. And then around like 2014, maybe 2015, I got introduced to DFS, and I downloaded the DraftKings app, and the first 2 months I played, I think I took down a first prize in NFL for 15K. So it was, and after that I just totally stopped playing for about 3-4 years. I was one of those. So after that, 3-4 years down the road, I started learning more about the industry and whatnot. So obviously you learn a lot on Twitter, and then obviously I had an account with Roto Grinders. So I pretty much didn't know anything about MLB till last year, and I only knew my favorite player, which was Mike Trout, and the obvious ones like Harper and Albert Pujols and all the great ones. So I kind of started learning the advanced stats and also the variance and whatnot. So I decided to go for the NBA live final, and I unfortunately didn't qualify, but I decided to go for the MLB one. And after my third or fourth try, I qualified with Kershaw. Couldn't be more happier than that, because he's one of my favorite pitchers. So, and then that's where I met you, Josh.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome to meet you there, man. And it's always good to hear different stories, because DFS is a great thing. You meet all different kinds of people from different backgrounds, and everyone just comes together and has their own way, their own approach. There's so much greatness to DFS as in a community aspect, and just meeting different people and who all just love and share the passion for this game. So, just happy to have you on here on the show, and looking forward to having you here. So before we get into this, give us all a follow on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis, Mangone. Brandon, why don't you plug your Twitter? What's your handle?
My at is at BDib24.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, go give Brandon a follow over there too. Like I said, nice young man, up and coming in this industry, so great to have him here. So let's start looking at this MLB slate. That's what we're here for. It's gonna be fun to have some baseball and have that McGregor Mayweather fight on the same day, so that's gonna be a good time. But we got 9 games here on the main slate, locking at 7:05 p.m. Eastern time. As always, we're gonna start with the pitching. Travis, looking at this pitching here on the slate, what are your thoughts here? Why don't you kick us off here on pitching?
Yeah, not a huge fan of it today, right? Like, there's just not a lot to love, so it's kind of a little frustrating. One of those slates where I looked at and I was like, I'm not playing cash here. I think I'm just gonna play some tournaments. That's just my personal opinion. But some people, they like that. They like to play cash on this. But at the top, I think like the top tier is it's, I guess it's like the Madison Bumgarner, Rodon, Brad Peacock, and like Lamet, like and Clevenger. Those are kind of the guys, and maybe Hendricks. I'm looking at FanDuel right now, so that's kind of like the top tier within like the 9.9K to 8K range, right? So it's kind of a tough choice, right? Because Madison Bumgarner going up against a really good offense in a ballpark that's good for hitters, and Madison Bumgarner hasn't totally been the same. I could see there's obviously some safety there, but I don't know. It's gonna be tough for me to pay that price. I feel like I might want to go down to a cheaper guy, like maybe like a Kyle Hendricks. He's a guy that I definitely would like to consider against the Phillies, right? Because we like to stream against the Phillies. Phillies offense has been a lot better, though. That's the thing. The Phillies offense is not what it used to be, right? They called up Hoskins. They got Nick Williams. They have some better hitters, right? But they still do strike out a bunch. But it's one of those things where I still think Kyle Hendricks is like kind of a sort of safe play that I wouldn't hate playing. And then there's Carlos Rodon, right? Carlos Rodon kind of back from the dead, right? He was kind of not doing so well. And out of nowhere, the strikeouts have just been, back to where they used to be. He costs like 8,700, which seems pretty pricey on FanDuel specifically, but he is now, he's priced up there, and he gets the team like the Detroit Tigers. So Detroit is a team that, I don't really mind targeting, obviously, because, after trading Jane Martinez, they've been a team that has struggled. I'm assuming Miguel Cabrera plays because they appealed the suspensions, but if Miguel Cabrera wasn't into, obviously that would, help out too. So it's a tough pitching slate, but for me right now, looking at FanDuel, the thing is, like, it's normally easy to fit stuff. So long story short, I think it's like Bumgarner, Rodon, and like Hendricks are the guys that I'm looking at, and depends on how I build my teams is who I go to, but I don't know who is like kind of like the cash guy that I'm leaning to so far. Josh, how about you?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough slate for pitching as far as like looking for the most safe option, so to speak, outside of Bumgarner, who I'm not really too fond of the spot that he's in here against the Diamondbacks, in Arizona. Kind of gets that park downgrade, and Vegas agrees. They have this kind of as a pick'em between him and Taijuan Walker. As of right now, the implied run totals are exactly even at 4.25 runs. So paying top premium price for Bumgarner on the slate doesn't feel exactly comfortable, especially with Pollock back around too. This is a team that hits lefties well. They got Iannetta in the lineup too, hits lefties well. I know it's Bumgarner, and I know he's great and everything, but like I said, you're paying top price for him. Scrolling through, looking for some of these value options on the slate, there's one guy that's kind of jumping off the page on me, and, call me crazy, and I know that, like I said, there's really not that much of a safety net once you go down past the top price, a couple of the top price guys, but this Ross Stripling guy here, his numbers are actually pretty solid. Looking at, I know that the sample size isn't huge, but it's not that small either. His strikeout rate against righties 25.2%, against lefties 23.5%. Walk rate's nice and low. His ground ball rate is great, up towards 50%. Fly balls are 25% and below. And the Sierra, 2.96 versus righties and 3.4 against lefties. Everything just looking great here. This Milwaukee team striking out at a rate of 24% this season, and Vegas has them at one of the lowest implied run totals on the slate at 3.6. So Stripling, 5.4K on DraftKings, feels like such a great SP2 option on this slate. And over on FanDuel, I believe Stripling is like dirt cheap too, and I wouldn't mind taking a shot at him in tournaments. Let's see what his price is here. 6K on FanDuel. I think he's a fine tournament option. Nice pivot for cheap. Like I said, if we're gonna look at some of the higher price guys, I agree with you, Travis. You mentioned Bumgarner on the slate. You also, I believe, you mentioned Peacock, and yeah, Peacock is all right, but against the Angels, really not too fond of that matchup either. And if we're going to look here and try to find value, I'm going to be looking at Stripling and, maybe pair him with Bumgarner and cash, but, it's like I said, it's a tough slate. Brandon, how about you? Where are you looking at pitching on the slate?
Okay, so I'm probably totally off Bumgarner, I would say. Too expensive for me, and there's a lot of BVP that I just wouldn't want to target. Goldsmith, 324 average, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs. Mathis, I think he's on the DL, but he hits him well. Pollock has homered on him. So especially in Chase Field, I'll probably leave him off of my lineups. All of them, actually. And I'm actually liking Lamet. I like Rodon. Actually, I was talking with a couple of my buddies, and we were all kind of craving the Buck Farmer. So last game versus White Sox, he struck out 11 and only 24 at-bats. So that's a pretty much a 50% strikeout rate versus them. And that was the good Chicago White Sox when they were actually hitting well. And now they're just egregious. So I'm really going to be attacking any, like, all the GPP plays, like maybe Stripling. Like you guys said, the Vegas total on that is low. And it's a good park shift. And Rodon, I mean, he's been doing well. Every time I want to stack against him, it doesn't go well. So
real quick, I didn't talk about Lamet too much, but I think Lamet is a guy definitely to consider getting, like a young, talented guy. Definitely scared of a guy like Stanton because this guy just hits a ball every day. But the Marlins lineup is one that we can definitely target. So I think Lamet's a guy that I'm going to be considering as well. Likely he's like kind of a tier below some of the guys we talked about, but I think he's right there with like the upside that he possesses. Maybe more of a tournament guy for me. But I want to talk about Stripling real quick because you guys talked about him. There could be some worries here. Manager Dave Roberts said Saturday will be a bullpen game. And so he said he'll pitch 4 innings and 55 pitches would be his ceiling. So now that you know that, are we off him? Are we still on him? I mean, I get the price tag's cheap, right? It's a very cheap price tag, but you're getting only 4 innings or 55 pitches, it sounds like. And like, he's got quotes on this whole thing. He said, you want to go out there and give 3 or 4. I think it's Stripling said this. You want to go out there and give 3 or 4 innings, Stripling said, and give the bullpen as much rest as you're able to, because the bullpens don't enjoy bullpen games. Guys are expected to go longer than they're used to, or put into a different than they used to. So yeah, basically this is going to be a bullpen game. And I mean, we had Rich Hill, right? He went the distance the other day. Then we had Maeda. He went 7, I think, innings today, I believe. So yep. Like bullpen game is like bound to happen. I mean, Dave Roberts said it too. Obviously I never trust Dave Roberts, but that's what he says. So I'm assuming you guys are maybe off him now. Or you guys still think at that price tag you can play him? What's your thought?
I don't know. Like, I feel like what if this kid goes out there and he's just throwing super efficient and it gets the bullpen extra rest because he's throwing so well and being so efficient? Like, wouldn't they rather stretch out a guy like Stripling than just exhaust their bullpen completely? Like, wouldn't that make the most sense?
But their bullpen's right. So rested. Like, I think I'm trusting in Dave Roberts, which is weird to say because I never do. But I don't think I'm going to play Stripling. The price, it's funny though. The price tag is interesting. Like, if you said at 5.4K and you guaranteed 4 innings of Stripling, do you think he could pull off 10 points and you would just sign up for it? Just because we don't like a lot of these pitchers here. I don't know. It's a question to ask. I'm not saying it's something I'm going to do, but it's just it's a conversation to have.
I mean, he's cheaper than some of the hitters. You know what I mean? So like, if he comes out and gives you 12 points, like, that wouldn't be terrible. But Brandon also mentioned Buck Farmer. Now, he's a guy that has had a few good games. He had some home run troubles. But if you look at the last 2 seasons, his numbers, that 25% strikeout rate stands strong against righties here. And these White Sox, it's just a bunch of young righties. You got a few lefties in there. But, majority of the lineup here are a bunch of righties, and they do strike out a ton, 24.7% strikeout rate. So this could be a good matchup here for Buck Farmer. Obviously, the park downgrade for, White Sox Stadium over there in Chicago could be an issue. Travis, do you have any interest in the Buck Farmer?
So I fell into the Buck Farmer against Arizona start and believe the 2 starts before. When I even had people telling me I was crazy. So, you know what? I'm not going to just jump back on Buck Farmer. Probably because it burned me right. I get the last start against Chicago. I don't know. That whole Chicago and Angel game, I'm just going to say it was like kind of something that just happened and I don't know how it happened and just move on. Unless someone can show me some like deep dive analytics on it or something, then I'm wrong. But I can't, I'm just going to stay away from it just because I also like Rodon too, right? I think he's in a good spot. And I actually think this is a spot the White Sox are going to, win this one. I think they're in a good spot here today.
All right. So if I told you that I have a pitcher with a 25.8% strikeout rate with a decent sample size against a team that strikes out 24.7% of the time. The guy has ground ball rates around, approaching 50%, fly ball rates around 25%. You're not going to be interested in that?
What's your sample size? I feel like I'm being trapped right now. You're trying to put my hand in the cookie jar.
This is last two seasons. It's 97 plate appearances. And if I told you that, and if I told you that he is what, 6.4K on DraftKings, and you know where you got a roster two pitchers, you're telling me you're not gonna put even consider him, you know, in cash games here on this slate. Put a strip over his name and don't even look at that. Just look at the numbers and look at his price. This is like me with your whole Lance Lynn thing. Like, I never want to play Lance Lynn, but you know, when you read me the numbers, it becomes enticing, right?
Yeah, it's more of a conversation to have. So maybe I'll get there. And it's a spot where you don't love the pitchers. I wish I could get behind Mike Clevinger, right? I wish I could because of the K percentage that he's had. But he's going to be at Kansas City. It depends what Kansas City's lineup they throw out there. Because I know Moustakas has been hurt. So that's someone that's on my radar a little bit, is like maybe like a tournament guy that could have some upside here, obviously. But again, Kansas City's just not like struck out like they were at the start of the year. They came back to what they were. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe, Josh. Maybe I'll get there throughout the day, but it's going to be tough. It's going to take some time, I think. You started pushing me a little bit, but I don't know. It's getting tough.
Brandon, how about you? How do you feel about Clevinger here, since Travis mentioned Clevinger?
So Clevinger averages a 5.45 ERA at home while averaging a 2.86 ERA on the road. And he's pretty good versus righties, so there's only a couple lefties in the lineup. I mean, and they've actually hit a homer on him. I actually like Moss today. Also, to bring up Stripling, I think he was acting as a reliever before these games, so this is his first game starting again. So I probably wouldn't pitch him. And I probably wouldn't change my mind on stacking Milwaukee. I like Dodgers bullpen, and I think they could handle the Milwaukee bats.
Yep. All right. So it sounds like we're all in different places here on pitching. So I think what we should do is we should rank our top three options on the slate for pitching and just kind of like maneuver from there. So Travis, why don't you kick us off and give us your top three pitching options on the slate?
Okay, top three pitching options. We will go with so Rodon is. I'm not gonna go in any particular order. I'm just gonna pick three because I think for me it's Rodon is one of them. I just like the strikeout upside that he can have here against the Tigers. He's just he's striking out guys that like he's striking out teams that don't like typically strike out, right? That's one thing I like to see, and just having good games, right? So I'm a fan of him here. I think Rodon is one guy that I'm definitely gonna have interest in. Then we go to Kyle Hendricks, just because streaming against the Phillies, and it's a guy that can kind of get by the lineup. I guess it's not as good of a pitcher's park. It's something that's a little worrying, little thing to be worried about, but Phillies have a 3.48 run total, right? So I'm definitely a fan of that. And then I'm going to go with the last one. I'll go with Madison Bumgarner, just because we don't have much talent here on this slate, and it's something that's a little frustrating. And Bumgarner is a definitely the most talented pitcher on the slate. If you had to say, hey, who's the most talented pitcher, it's him. I get the matchup's not as great, something to be concerned about. So I'm curious what lineup the Diamondbacks end up throwing out, because lineup matters with them. They really change up the lineup. So depending on the lineup, it depends on what I kind of do with Madison Bumgarner, I think. But yeah, that's about it for me, Josh. Who's your favorite three?
All right, my top three on the slate will probably be Lamet. I guess you got to consider Bumgarner here, right? So I'll put him on the list, and I'll put Buck Farmer there too. And just as a little tournament bonus, a guy I didn't mention, I feel like you could get him at a super low ownership, and he's only 6K on DraftKings. Mike Leake is a guy that I think I'm going to give some tournament look at. I could feel Travis cringing through the computer right now as I say this.
I cringed big time, but yeah. You do you, Josh. Hey, man. That's a scary one, man.
Hey, man, I pinned my Wainwright plays right throughout the year, so I'm going to make a bold prediction to say that Mike Leake throws a good game here. So just going to throw that out there. But Brandon, why don't you rank your top three for us too?
So I'm the same as you guys. I'm going to place Lamet my first. It's not really in order, but these are my top three. I'm actually going to put Hendricks, and then I'm going to put Rodon. So those three. And then I would say that Buck Farmer is a good GPP play just because the risk and reward is so high. Like, he can make you or break you. So especially on a site like DK where the price is so low, where if even gets five strikeouts is good enough for me and like a couple errors. So Lamet, I really like his strikeout percentage, and I'm not really worried about the righties, but the few lefties in there could probably get to him, but I'm gonna stay with that predicament. And then Hendricks, I think he's had a 3.3 ERA in the past three games, so I think he stays hot.
All right, very cool. All right, you guys, Travis, you all good on pitching?
Yeah, it's not a pitching slate to love, but you know, we got to find some ways to take an advantage. So if you're struggling with pitching, be sure to look at lineup. So I always like to say that, you know, look to see what lineup came out. I wasn't on DeGrom today at first, and then that terrible Washington lineup came out there, and then that got me on DeGrom, and he did fine for me. So I think that's something definitely to note on a slate like this. Let's look to see what lineups come out, and maybe that's something to attack.
And how about you, Brendan? Anything else you want to mention here on pitching?
Bumgarner, it's pretty much the same situation as Sale the other day. All that BVP, it could go wrong or it could go right. I think he has a 26% strikeout rate versus Arizona. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, the only guy that hits him at a good average is Goldschmidt. So if he could get through him, I think he could have a good game. And obviously he has the most upside out of all the pitchers that could get you 50+.
Yep. All right, so there we go. We covered pitching. Now it's time to move on to the catcher position. I'll kick us off here at catcher. If you guys listen to the Weekend Grind regularly, you know that we look for these kind of cheap catchers that correlate to our lineups, find some cheap pop in the bats. There's a handful of guys here that I'm interested that I feel like are priced fairly. The first guy I'm going to mention here is Jonathan Lucroy going against Sean Newcomb. This is at SunTrust, so you know you get a nice hitter's park here. And we know that Lucroy is a career lefty masher. Now, Lucroy, 3.5K on DraftKings just feels like a nice solid cheap price for a good hitting environment and a good matchup. And 2,300 on FanDuel, he's basically free over there. So I think that for that price, he's certainly in play. Alex Avila is a guy that I'm going to have interest in. He's also first base eligible on DraftKings, so you can find a way to maneuver him in if you end up liking him that much. We know that Lively is a guy that struggles against lefties. Avila, 4.1K. on DraftKings and over on FanDuel, you could get him for 2.9, so fairly priced over there. I like his price a lot better on FanDuel than I do on DraftKings if we're talking relative to the site pricing. Another guy that I'm always on against lefties that seems to always be low-owned, and Travis, you see me pin him right many, many times this season, it's Yadier Molina. Molina is the guy, man. Molina against a lefty. Yadier Molina has incredible splits against lefties. High WOBA. High ISO, and at home too, really thrives at home in the stadium that you know is built well for righties. And we're going to have some nice weather too, 83 degrees, 42% humidity. So everything's looking good over there. And if we're going to look at any other options here, I don't mind giving a look over at Evan Gattis. He's coming back from the DL now, going against Tyler Skaggs. If he's in the lineup and clean up and he's 3.4K on DraftKings, you know, I think that you should give him a look. With, you know, some people get nervous about touching catchers coming off the DL or hitters in general, anyone coming off the DL. I know, Travis, you're one of those guys, and I don't blame you. But for a tournament flyer, I don't think Gattis is a bad play if he's batting cleanup. But if I had to rank my top two catchers on the slate, it would probably be Jonathan Lucroy and Yadier Molina. So that's where I'm going to land here on the slate. And obviously James McCann is against the lefty too, so I think you have to give him some consideration. But if I had to boil it down to just two, it would be Lucroy and Molina. Travis, how about you? Where are you looking at catcher?
Yeah, so I don't hate Molina. You had me when you started talking about the weather, Josh. I was getting all excited about that with the hot weather out in St. Louis. But I don't think Molina's a bad play. My top play is Alex Avila. Like, he's the guy I'm going to go to. I just think it makes so much sense here. It's a guy like Lively. It should be a great spot for him. Alex Avila, you know, last 15 days, 95 exit velocity, and his batted ball distance is, 229. It's just a spot where I think we definitely have to have interest in that small ballpark too. I mean, this is just a beautiful spot for Alex Avila. So I'm a big fan of this. He goes up against a guy in Lively who has a K percentage of 10.4 against righties and against lefties 7.1. Like, these Cubs are going to be guys that I have a lot of interest in. And Alex Avila is a lefty, and guess what? The walk percentage is 9.4. It's even higher than his K percentage. I mean, that is terrible. Sample size is small, only 85 plate appearances. I wish there was a little bit more. Sierra against lefties, 5.96, and against righties, 4.97. I mean, this guy is not good. So for me, it just feels like a lock in Alex Avila and take his home run and move on. That's what it is for me. So I'm going to look at him, and I, you know, if I obviously make some other teams, but you know, if I play a Cardinal stack, I'll throw in Yadier Molina probably, right? Cause I don't want to take him off it, or I'll throw in a catcher from another stack. But Alex Avila is like my top option that I'm going to try and load up on this slate. What about you, Brandon? Don't love catcher a lot, but is there anyone that really sticks out to you here?
Yeah. So I'm pretty much attacking all the lefty pitchers, and I love Molina. The 314 ISO and the high WOBA. But you guys didn't name this guy, and he mashes lefties. Kurt Suzuki versus Freeland. That's the guy I'm attacking. He has a 537 WOBA versus lefties. So I'm definitely, he's my top option. I love Avila and Molina. Those are probably my top three.
All right. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, Suzuki certainly a top play. No, obviously got to see who they end up putting in the lineup, because it could be Tyler Flowers, who, again, wouldn't be a bad play either in this ballpark against a lefty. Hits lefties well, too, has some good pop in his bat. But, yeah, Suzuki, incredible numbers against lefties. So, yeah. Travis, if you had the top, name your top two catchers, who would they be?
Alex Avila and Alex Avila, but no, Yadier Molina, I guess, would be a number two. And it was a good call on the Suzuki too. He's another guy to consider. He's good. I like taking him against guys that are, you know, just terrible at striking people out. So, yeah, Suzuki's not a bad one too, but for me, it's Avila, and I'll probably go with Yadier Molina with you just because this guy's been mashing the ball recently.
Yeah. All right. How about you, Brandon? Who's your top two catchers then?
I'm probably going to say Molina is my top, and then Suzuki is my second, if he starts.
Yeah.
If he doesn't start, I'll take Avila.
Okay, very cool. And my top two will be Yadier Molina and Jonathan Lucroy. So that's where I'll be at. But I definitely think, as Brandon mentioned, Suzuki's a great play. And as Travis mentioned, Avila is a great play. So good, you know, good handful. Basically, whoever ends up in the lineups here of these guys and whoever correlates to your roster construction, all of them are fine plays. So let's move on to first base now, more of a loaded position as usual. Travis, why don't you kick us off here at first base and tell me where you're looking here on the slate.
Man, how do I not play Anthony Rizzo, right? 4,400 expensive, I get it, but it's Anthony Rizzo, and in a spot against Lively, this is just a beautiful spot for him. So, Anthony Rizzo, sign me up here for him. He's my top guy. If I had to pick, I would definitely load up on him in this spot. Clearly, he's just a guy that, you know, is going to crush here today. It just seems like there's no way he doesn't. But again, it's baseball, so who knows? That can easily happen, obviously. I don't mind Jose Abreu. I know you guys like Buck Farmer, but man, Jose Abreu has been like absolutely smashing the ball recently. So yeah, he's a guy that, you know, he's kind of been home run or bust, but again, spot against Buck Farmer, I don't hate going him. He's an option that you can definitely consider here, I think, in this spot. Yeah, so that's it. I mean, like for me, it's like, you know, if I can go Miguel Cabrera against Rodon, I said Rodon is a guy that I like, but I don't know. Miguel Cabrera, he's a guy that, you know, he's been smashing the ball recently from the, you know, if you look at the batted ball data. And I get it, though, but the price tag is like cheap. It's $2,800 on FanDuel. DraftKings, pull that up now. He is, why can't I get his price? I'm on the wrong slate here on DraftKings.
Who are you looking for?
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera. What is it?
Miggy is super cheap.
Is Miggy playing?
Yeah, he should be. He's super cheap.
He appealed to suspension, so yeah. I'm assuming
they let Gary Sanchez. They let Gary Sanchez play. They're gonna let Miggy play today. So he's 3,400. By the way, he's super cheap. 3,400.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the way it happens is I don't think that they do appeals during the weekends. I'm pretty sure. I forget who it was. There was some guy like early in the season that like they pushed his appeal. Like it was like supposed to be decided on Friday. And they're like, oh, we'll settle this on Monday. So it sounds like they just don't handle those things on the weekends. Like they just take off. So, Miggy's the guy I would consider if I had to take maybe if I take one guy against Rodon, it's either him or Upton, obviously. Miggy's not a guy I'm going to like go all in on, but if I need, like if I'm building a team and I need a cheap first baseman, like why wouldn't I not put him in that spot? Like it's just a great spot for him here. So, Miggy's definitely a guy that I like a lot. But for me, it's like Anthony Rizzo is the guy, right? It's the guy I want to load up on. What about you guys? Who do you like at first base, Brandon?
Okay. So first base, picking Lucas Duda. In the past three starts, Leak has given up an ERA of 13.14. So those are egregious numbers. Duda is batting 778 two home runs, six RBIs versus Leak. And I expect to at least get to him. I don't know about a homer, but he should have a couple hits at least. And then my second is Edwin Encarnacion. He has four home runs, 452 WOBA versus Hamill, and he's due. I just play players that I keep on playing, and if they don't produce, then I stick to the well. And then Goldschmidt versus Bumgarner in Chase Field. It's probably going to be lower owned, but that's what we want. He has a 324 average and two home runs versus Bumgarner. He's the only one that kind of has good stats versus Bumgarner. The rest of them have low averages, and their ISO is okay, but it's nothing to be afraid of. So I would probably just go with a one-off. If you're not playing Bumgarner, I would go with Goldschmidt for sure.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah, for me, I'm going to keep it pretty short and simple. I think I'm just going to go with some Rizzo and some Miggy on this slate. Both guys in a fantastic spot. I don't want to overthink it too much. I understand there's some merit to playing guys like E5. I even think that Mark Reynolds is a good tournament option here against a lefty and Sean Newcomb and SunTrust. But just going to keep it like, you know, Rizzo, and Rizzo has been just like smashing. He's just been so hot. And he gets a nice park upgrade in Philly. Against Lively. By the way, Lively's numbers against lefties are absolutely atrocious. 596 Sierra against lefties, 368 WOBA allowed, BABIP over 300 allowed, and that strikeout rate is 7.1%. 9.4 walk percent, too, against lefties. It just gets worse as you look at the lefty numbers. And you see Rizzo here with a 380 WOBA, 243 ISO. You know, this is a great spot here for Rizzo, and I think that you kind of just have to play him here on the slate in cash and just lock him in. And I think Miggy is the other cheaper option to pivot to Miguel Cabrera if you want to get some some savings at first base. That's the way to go. Wouldn't stray too far outside of those two guys. So my top two at first are going to be Anthony Rizzo, and if you need some salary cap savings, you go with Miguel Cabrera. How about you, Travis? Who are your top two at first base?
So my top two at first base, I think it's going to be Miguel Cabrera. Actually, I don't know. Miguel Cabrera, I'll go with Jose Abreu. I think I want to go with him here. I like Jose Abreu in this spot. So we'll go Jose Abreu and Anthony Rizzo, but I like Miguel Cabrera too. Maybe I'll make them my favorite three. You know, Josh, I'm vetoing you. I'm going with three. So those are my three favorites.
All right. And how about you, Brandon? Who are your top two then at first base?
I'm going to have to say Duda and E5.
All right. Wow, we got some mixing up here on the Weekend Grind podcast. I like it. I like having a guest here who kind of goes against the grain. Nice, nice. And that's how you I guess that's how you end up getting qualifying for a live final, right? Going off the grid like this.
Right.
So, very nice. All right. So, with that, we're going to move on to second base. We'll have our guest Brandon. You go ahead, kick us off at second base. Where are you looking on this slate?
All right. So, I'm going to keep it short, and I'm just probably going to play a lot of Altuve versus Skaggs. He's a 430 WOBA versus Skaggs in 9 at-bats, and he's a lefty masher, so, and Skaggs hasn't really been that well, so I'll probably go with Altuve.
All right, very nice. Any other options that you're looking at besides Altuve, or you're just going to load up, hit the lock button, 100% in Altuve?
Well, no, I'd like to hedge, so if I'm going to play Roden, I'll probably play some Kinsler shares. He has a 483 WOBA versus Rodon and one homer. So I'll probably play that as a hedge.
Okay. How about you, Travis? Where are you looking at second base?
Oh, yeah. So I would love Altuve, right? It's just he's kind of expensive. So I don't know if I have the money for it or not. He wasn't in the lineup Friday because of a neck. So I don't know. Necks are kind of serious. So I don't know. He might not be in the lineup here. It depends. So obviously take a look and see, based on that. I love Ian Happ here. Shocker, I like the Cubs. The Cubs are going to be a team I talk about a lot. Ian Happ is like he's just a guy that, hits a lot of fly balls. And in the spot against Lively, this seems like a dream spot for him. So I'm definitely going to, I think I'm going to load up on him, and I think he's a really good option here. One guy I want to note on FanDuel specifically, right, is Jose Ramirez. He's 2,900. I paid 2,700 for him today. It was fantastic to pay, play to pay that price tag. He didn't really come through for me like I was hoping, but it was a very nice price tag to pay. You know, made things work in cash games, right? So 2900 is just way too cheap for a guy like him. We were paying 4.3K on FanDuel for him. So Jose Ramirez is another guy. You know, we talked about the Indians a little bit, and I kind of like what Brandon was saying about Edwin Encarnacion. I definitely think I want to throw maybe an Indian stack in there. And obviously, if I do that, I'm going to make sure I, you know, take this cheap price tag on Jose Ramirez of 2.9K. So those are probably the three that I have the most interest in right now. How about you, Josh?
Yeah, Jose Ramirez, 336 WOBA, 164 ISO here. The guy, I played him on DraftKings today, and I paid about 4.3K for him, I believe. So you got a huge discount for him at FanDuel, and I think you should continue to do so and just take advantage of that price tag. I think 2.9 at FanDuel is way too cheap. And I also think that Hap is way too cheap on FanDuel, too. Like, on DraftKings, it's a bit tougher to get Hap in there for 5K. You know, the good news is that you have multi-position eligibility with him, where he's second base and outfield eligible on DraftKings. But yeah, 3.5K on FanDuel just feels way too cheap. So I think those are the two guys you should just be like, point per dollar. These guys are excellent plays on the slate, going with Hap and Jose Ramirez on FanDuel specifically. They're still in play on DraftKings, but you're paying 4.4 on DraftKings for Jose Ramirez and 5K for Hap on DraftKings. So just, you know, relatively for the price, you know, going for site specific plays, those are the two guys you want to focus on FanDuel. Now, on DraftKings, you know, there's a few options you can look at outside of that. Like, Paul DeJong is 4.4K. I think that he's in the conversation against Blake Snell at home. The guy's been an absolute beast since, you know, he's been getting regular work in the lineup. So I think he's someone we could be looking at. Altuve, as Brandon mentioned, is a top option. But like you said, Travis, got to find the money for that. If I have the money, I'll definitely get some Altuve in my lineups. Incredible, incredible stats against lefties throughout his career. So he's someone I would definitely have interest in. For me, and I don't mind the Kinsler play either that Brandon mentioned. I think that's also a fine play. We know that, like he said, he's a career lefty masher. So good news there. But I think I'm just going to try to keep my exposure, you know, tight and simple, and keep the core built around Ian Happ and some Jose Ramirez. And, you know, maybe I'll mix some of that DeJong in there too if I want to go along those lines. I do like Molina. So I think that Molina and DeJong make a fine handcuff play here if you want to correlate some roster construction to these Cardinals. So my top two, though, on the slate for second base, I'm going to go with Ian Happ and Jose Ramirez. How about you, Travis? Who are your top two at second base?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same, Happ and Jose Ramirez, just because of the price tags. I mean, they're just very nice price tags, and I like them a lot. And obviously, I'm worried about Altuve with the neck. So those are my two favorite options.
How about you, Brandon? Who are your top two at second base?
I think you guys convinced me on Happ. So I'll probably take Altuve as my high price guy, and then I'll take Happ as my value P.
Yeah, just real quick, Ian Happ's numbers, this, like, it's just been on an absolute tear. I had the numbers open. Just give me one second here. Where is he here? Okay, so yeah, Ian Happ, 349 WOBA and 273 ISO right now. You know, the only issue is his strikeouts. You know, he's got that 29% strikeout rate, but Lively just doesn't, 7.1% strikeout rate against lefties. Like, Ian Happ betting from the left side of the plate, he's not going to strike out against, you know, against Lively. Like, I think more often than not, he's going to make some hard contact here. Lively gives up a ton of hard contact here against lefties. So yeah, just keep that in mind. So that's where we're at second base. But with that, we can move on now to the hot corner, to third base. And third base here, again, just like first base, usually a loaded position with lots of options. We'll go over to Travis here. Mr. Mangone, why don't you break down third base for us? Kick us off here.
Yeah, so one of my top plays is Chris Bryant. I'm running out of Cubs to put in my lineup. This is getting difficult here.
Mr. Cash.
Yeah, they're chalky, right? Like, they're going to be chalk tomorrow, sadly. It's going to be annoying, and I'm playing tournaments, and I'm going to have chalky Cubs. Is that what's going to happen first, Josh? Is that, and Brandon, am I right about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're Mr. Chalk for a reason, Travis. No, Travis, it says in your Twitter profile, eat chalk or die trying. Like, you have to live up to it.
You're right. You're right. No, that's a good point. I'm gonna die trying, man. I'm going to go for it. Whatever. I like him. Chris Ryan, I absolutely love hearing this spot. He's a guy that don't ever get right, but I feel like whenever I roster him in cash, he always never comes through for me. But hey, I'm playing tournaments. Hopefully, he comes through for me on this slate. It's just a great spot against Lively, and I think it's, you know, it's an easy spot for him to hit one out here. And this ballpark, it's a good spot. I like Chris Bryant a lot here. Definitely going to be loading up on him. You know, last 15 days, 92 exit velocity, fly balls, 41%, and 240 batted ball distance. That's stuff I love to see. Another guy with similar numbers, like I just said, with even a higher fly ball rate, which is 10%, or actually 11% higher, is in the last 15 days, is Nolan Arenado against a lefty. I don't think anyone ever disagrees when you have Nolan Arenado against a lefty. Everyone's like, all right, where do I sign? Problem is, you got to pay for it, right? And it's $4,300. So maybe I kind of, as I build my cup stack, maybe I don't play, Chris Bryant for 4,300, and maybe I play Nolan Arenado instead and, get another Cub in the outfield instead. That's an idea I could pull off maybe. So I don't know. It's interesting. Like, those are the two top guys, though. Like, I would be loading up on them. I'd be finding a way to pay up for them. Those are the guys at the top that I want. If I can, you know, I don't think this is a spot I want to pay down a ton, but if I did pay down, I look at a guy like maybe a Jed Jairko against a Blake Snell. I also don't mind this Cardinals team a little bit. There's some guys to like here. And I think Jed Jairko for 3,400 wouldn't mind him, like a Justin Turner too. He's a guy, 3,500. He's a guy that's been smashing the ball all season long. But like, once we get even cheaper, right? Once we get below, specifically on FanDuel, once we get below those guys I said, like once we get below a Jake Lamb, who's also against a lefty in a tough spot, yeah, like Travis Shaw against a righty who I don't mind, but then it gets ugly. You got Castellanos has a wrist injury, you know, and it's just like just guys that you really don't feel like rostering. So for me, it's a spot where I'm just going to pay up. It's like Arenado or Bryant. If I was playing 10 lineups, I would likely go, five Arenado, five Bryant. And then if I really wanted to, sprinkle in a couple other guys, maybe I'd go 4-4 on them and then sprinkle two other guys in. But that's how I'm kind of approaching third base today. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, Arenado's the guy, man. 521 WOBA and 437 ISO against lefties, man. Like, it's just insane. And, that's his overall numbers, not just at home and Coors. And he's going to be in SunTrust, which is, a nice hitter's environment. But, man, 521 WOBA and 437 ISO. Like, how do you not take those numbers here? Like, he's 5.3K on DraftKings. He's over 4K on FanDuel, as you mentioned. So he's tough to fit in there. But I'm going to find a way to jam him in. Plus, he's got 85% medium to hard contact against left-handed pitching. He's the guy, man. Arenado is the guy on the slate. Like, if you want to pay for the top option at third base, like, I feel like it's a significant drop off after him. Like, I'm not as crazy as Chris Bryant as you are here, Travis. I mean, I get it. It's in a hitter's park. It's against Edward Lively. But if you tell me I get Arenado against a lefty in a hitter's environment, like I'm, like you said, sign me up for that. I'll probably sprinkle some Chris Bryant in if I'm making multiple lineups in tournaments, and if I want to correlate to those Cub stacks. But if I'm gonna go anywhere at third base, I wouldn't mind just hitting the lock button and going 100% Arenado here and moving on, because outside of that, it really does get ugly. It drops off. It goes Arenado a decent size space, then Chris Bryant, and then it's a major cliff dive after that. So I'm just going to get Arenado in there and let everyone else chase the dream at cheaper price tags elsewhere. How about you, Brandon? Where are you looking at third base?
So to add on to the Chris Bryant, so me and my buddies, we have a rule where we literally do not play Chris Bryant unless it's on Sundays or it's a day game. And tomorrow's a perfect day to do it, I think so.
That's interesting. Why don't you explain that? Why is that the rule for Chris Bryant?
Well, I mean, we just noticed these like trends, and if you kind of notice it, Chris Bryant barely hits home runs at night. Like, it's usually on a Sunday or it's a day game. It's very rare that he'll hit one at night. And we also used to do this with Josh Donaldson, but right now he's on fire, so I don't think that rule applies. So to get to my third baseman, obviously Arenado is just a top-notch guy on here. So we don't really have to talk about that. And then my second guy is Jed Jairko. I kind of like all the St. Louis bats today, so I'm just going to add Jairko to the stack. He has a 370 WOBA versus left-hand pitching in 2017, and he has a 255 ISO. So I'll definitely be attacking Snell this weekend with all the righties. And after that, it's pretty much a clear drop other than Arenado, Chris Bryant, Jairko. I had Castellanos as a hedge, but Travis brought up that he might be hurt, so kind of going to steer away.
Yeah, I also just want to mention, Travis, I don't know if I told you about this at the live final, But I just realized, you know, Cincinnati's not on the slate, and the Reds were staying at the hotel we were staying at in Chicago. And I believe, Randy, didn't you have a conversation with Scooter Gennett? Like, Jeanette?
Yeah.
He came out smoking a cigarette, right? And you were like, oh, I was going to play you today, and I didn't. He was like, it's a good thing you didn't because I had a terrible game.
Yeah. So that was a funny experience. So he was asking us questions. He was the one that was more interested in DFS. So he asked us how many points did I get the day I had 4 home runs. And he asked us all these small questions like he was really interested. And so I told him that I switched him last second, and he was like, oh, good. Because Matt Davis wasn't throwing me anything. So it was actually just a really funny experience to just randomly see him outside of the hotel. And, like, he actually bummed a cigarette off of us, like, off of the people outside.
Oh, by the way, and Joey Votto is a massive guy in person.
Oh, my yeah.
Gosh, he was so big when he walked in the lobby. But
I actually didn't see him, but, yeah, Scooter was a really nice guy.
Yeah, Scooter, yeah. I heard really good stories about Scooter the life final. But, yeah, all right, so back to it. So, Travis, if you had to rate your top two, would it just be Chris Bryant and Arenado, as you said?
Yeah, that's a cool story about Scooter Jeanette and whatnot, and seeing some of the Reds. That's awesome. I always like seeing whenever you get to see like some you know, some pro players in person. It's kind of cool, and if you get to have a conversation with them, that's nice that they're, you know, able to have a conversation with them and talk about it. I've talked to some guys about you know, some athletes about like DFS, and they kind of get interested. They're like, oh, how's this work? It's kind of fun. So, but yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's like just Arenado and Bryant and kind of move on, obviously. I think they're both just two really good plays on the slate, so I'm going to load up on them here.
Yeah, all right. And Brandon, who would be your top two here on the slate, then?
All right, yeah, so my top guy is going to be Arenado. I mean, obviously, he's going to be chalky if you could fit him in. And I'm going to have to say Jerko versus Snell. I know you guys are all on Chris Bryant, but I'm a GPP guy, so I'm going to fade the chalk.
All right. Very cool. So with that, we covered third base. Let's move on to shortstop. Shortstop, again, is a position that usually doesn't have a lot of depth. For me, I'm looking at the shortstop position and just trying to figure out where I'm going to correlate to my rosters and where the best place to go is. Trevor Story is a guy that's really popping out at me here at SunTrust. 3.6K on DraftKings. Love the price tag over there. And he's 2.5 in FanDuel. Love his price tag there, too. Super cheap and just absolutely mashes lefties. And you get him in a good park. I know he hits at the bottom of the order, so you know there's a little bit of hesitation with that there. But I still think that he's a great option on the slate. Outside of him, it really does get a little bit murky. I'm sure Lindor is in play. He makes a fine pairing with Jose Ramirez. You could play him, but you know you're gonna have to pay top dollar for both those guys on DraftKings. On FanDuel, you got Jose Ramirez at a discount. I'm sure Lindor, right? Let's see what Lindor's price tag is on FanDuel. 3.9, so you're going to have to pay more for him. But I think that the two of them are in play together. If I play Lindor, I usually pair him with Jose Ramirez or E5 or one of those guys. And then DeJong is also shortstop eligible on DraftKings. Don't mind looking at him over there. Again, like I said earlier, just know that you have to pay up for him. 3.6 on FanDuel, a bit more of a fair price tag over there. Would have some interest in him over there as well. You know, and I think I'm going to probably just stay away from Corey Seager on this slate. I know that, you know, he gets a decent matchup against Davies, but I just think there's better routes to go, you know, point per dollar wise. So if I'm going to talk about who my top two shortstops on the slate will be, it's going to be Trevor Story and probably Lindor. So those are my top two shortstops. Travis, how about you? Where are you looking at a shortstop?
Oh, yeah, this is pretty boring, but it's Lindor and Story, I think. Like, if I have the money, I want Lindor, but Story's just really cheap. I mean, he's 2,500. Like, he's a nice, cheap home run chance, so I don't mind going to him as an option. Again, he's a guy that, you know, he just smashes lefties, and he's just a salary saver, too, that helps me get in some of the bigger bats, right? So I kind of like him. If I have the money, though, I want Lindor. I mean, he's the guy that I definitely want to load up on here. And it's a shortstop. It's a position we always say, like, it's not the greatest position. So be on the lookout. Things could pop that, you know, someone could be in the lineup. And if, you know, someone could just get like a really good lineup spot, and then that could change our opinions easily. So be on the lookout for that, right? That's someone. Also, another guy to consider is Jonathan VR. Say he gets like a lineup bump towards like the top of the lineup. I wouldn't hate him here in this spot, right? He's a guy that I would definitely want to consider. And then Marwin Gonzalez, he's another guy, right? Against against Tyler Skaggs. He's a guy that, you know, he's a pretty good price tag at 3K. And I don't think I mind playing him. Obviously not the best ballpark for him in LA, but I think he's a guy to consider too as well. What about you, Brandon?
So to add on to Lindor, I mean, obviously we just pretty much gave a good stack out there. I mean, you could take Lindor, you could take Jose Ramirez and E5, and you got a pretty good stack right there. So my guys, I'm going to stick with the Cardinals, and I'm going to go with DeJong. And hold on, let me pull up his stats. Oh, yeah, he's a lefty masher. He has like a 420 wOBA, I think, but he Ks a lot, so that's the only problem. Obviously, Story. It's high wOBA versus lefties. The only thing I don't like is it's not in Coors, and he's usually hitting his home runs in Colorado. So, I mean, the price is too cheap, so you can't really avoid that. I mean, you could fit a lot of bats with him. Obviously, if you're going to go with Arenado, I mean, a good pairing is with Story. So, those are my two guys, DeJong and Story.
All right. And Travis, you said Lindor and Story for you.
Yeah. I like the point on DeJong too. He's a good guy. Obviously, I was making a Cardinal stack. I'd want to make sure to get him in there. But yeah, I think that's about right. I like there's some shortstop's not the greatest, so it's one of those positions again. I always like to preach, like make sure to be on the lookout for the lineups to see if that can help you out if you know, some of the guys aren't popping for you. But there's some decent guys, some home run pop where we can get away with it.
Yep. All right. So so who would be your top two, Brandon? I'm not sure. Do we get your top two?
Yeah, DeJong and then Story.
Okay, very good. All right, we're going to move on to the last position here, the outfield. Brandon, you go ahead, kick us off here. Where are you looking at for the outfield bats?
So I'm going to fill up the stack of Cleveland, and I'm going to go with Jay Bruce. He's just been mashing, and he's been hitting anything, lefties or righties. So definitely looking at him. I'm also looking at a couple other guys. Let me look up. I'm looking at Granderson. He actually has a homer versus Matt Davies, and we know Matt Davies is extremely sus versus lefties. So I like all the lefties in the Dodgers game. So if you'd look to see Granderson in the lineup, definitely put him in your lineups.
All right. Anyone else you're looking at here?
Let me pull this up. If you guys want to go ahead, you could come back to me.
All right, Travis, you go ahead. Where are you looking at in the outfield?
All right, yeah. So I'll kind of do this. I think this is a good slate where we'll just talk about each, the team's outfielders. Like the Cubs, right? I'm gonna start with the Cubs outfielders. Jay Schwarber and Zobrist. Not really Jason Hayward. I love, but if you want to be different, maybe you could throw him in there. I just don't love playing him enough, too much, but. Yeah, I think those Cubs outfielders are guys that we can definitely have some interest in here. If I played any Philly outfielder, it'd probably be Hoskins, right? But he's been crushing the ball recently, and he's been good to me. But I don't know. I don't think it's a spot to attack Kyle Hendricks. But again, Hoskins has been just absolutely mashing the ball recently, so I understand that. Looking at the Detroit side, I think Upton would be the only guy I play in the Chicago White Sox. It depends on what lineup they roll out. And against Farmer, I'd probably try and maybe get some of those lefties in there, like a Delmonico. He got scratched today, though, but I don't know how serious that is. So, but if Delmonico's in their back and cleanup like he has been recently, I definitely would have some interest in him. In the Colorado outfield, not a ton that I love because of being a lefty, but if I had to, it'd be like Charlie Blackman, of course. Like, yeah, he can hit anyone. So if I'm playing a Colorado stack, I never want to leave Charlie Blackman out of it. Talk about Miami. Hey, there's this guy, Giancarlo Stanton. He is good at baseball. He's just been smashing the ball. I'll just read his game odds because it's just so fascinating to hear them. 60.1, 24.9, 0.3, 28.2, 28.7, 9, 9. 0.2, 18.2, 27.9. I mean, the guy just hits a homer every day. It's like insane. He just goes absolutely insane. And this is a spot. I get it's Lamet. People are a little worried about it. I think this is the spot. Like, we don't have to pay the price tag, but if you're gonna say, hey, I want to play Giancarlo Stanton, I'm not gonna argue it because of what he's been doing. It's just been absolutely insane. Probably pass on those San Diego outfielders. Tampa Bay outfield, if I played anyone, it'd probably be like Corey Dickerson or maybe even a Steven Souza, who's been smashing righties all year long. All of his home runs are off him, so he's a guy that I would definitely have interest in. Talk about the St. Louis outfield. A guy like Dexter Fowler, I would definitely look to, and maybe depends who's like towards the top lineup, but like the, you know, the Tommy Pham's, the Piscotties, those guys. I think they're guys in St. Louis. I'd look to see who's batting towards the top and probably get exposure to them, especially without stacking. Talking about the Cleveland outfield, I liked what Brandon said about Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce makes a ton of sense here, so I think he's a guy I would like. Probably pass on the Kansas City outfield, same with the Giants. And same with the you know, the Arizona outfield. I, like I said, I love JD Martinez. Always a fan of rostering him in those Arizona outfielders. But against Bumgarner, I don't think this is a spot I'm going to attack. I could see maybe going, you know, if you want, if you're going to Houston and you're stacking up, obviously you want to get like a Springer, maybe a Reddick in there. That makes sense for the Houston side. LA, I'm likely passing tomorrow on that. I mean, but if you want to play Mike Trout, I'm not going to, you know, argue that too, right? Mike Trout is pretty good at baseball. And then the last game is, you know, Milwaukee and Los Angeles. You know, this is a spot, I don't absolutely love this game, so I'm just going to pass on this one in the outfield too. But yeah, I think there's a lot, you know, a lot of different outfielders to love. And kind of touched on some of the ones that I really have a bunch of interest in. But what about you, Josh? Who are you interested in?
I think you could go with Schwarber for sure. Just stay on the on track with that Chicago love. And I think that Ian Happ is a fine outfield play on DraftKings where he's eligible out there. Pass on the Colorado lefties in this lefty-lefty matchup. All my numbers are telling me stay away here. I understand if you're doing a full stack, you might want to get some Blackman exposure or some Parra exposure. But for me, it's just going to be a pass. But on the flip side of the game, Matt Kemp just feels too cheap. 3.6K on DraftKings for Matt Kemp. Just comes in at a great discount here against the lefty. And on FanDuel, you get Kemp for 2.8. So I think both are great price tags for him in the slate. In SunTrust, nice hitters environment going against the lefty. Looking at this Detroit, these Detroit outfielders, Mickey Mettuk has made a career out of just being a platoon guy who hits lefties. So if you're going to play Upton, which I think is a fine play, I wouldn't mind pairing him with Mickey Mettuk, correlating that play there. You mentioned the St. Louis lefty righties against Blake Snell. If I had anyone that I'd be really interested in, it would just be Pham and Piscotty. I understand the Fowler play too, if you want to complete that. But if I have to pick two out of those three, it's going to be Piscotty and Pham. Hopefully Piscotty gets a nice lineup bump against the lefty. That's like second. If he does, then I definitely would have extra interest in him based on his lineup boost. Looking at these Cleveland outfielders, Jay Bruce is the guy I have interest in. And if Bradley Zimmer gets a bump in the lineup too, and bats like fifth or sixth, he's a guy with a ton of upside against righties. Definitely has some home run pop in his bat. You know, he's been quiet as of late. You know, he's been a little streaky, but against a matchup against Jason Hamill, who gives up a ton of hard contact to lefties, could be enough to get him back on track. And that huge implied run total for Cleveland, 5.23, is the highest on the slate of any team. So I think that if we're going to be looking at getting stock in the highest scoring and implied total on the slate for the Cleveland Indians, Bruce and Zimmer are both great options to get stock in that. Yeah, and then if I have any other interest, it would be just as, you know, in George Springer as a one-off, just because George Springer is one of the best. For some reason, he always gets like, it kind of gets tampered when people talk about Springer against lefties for some reason. But if you look at the numbers, like, they're absolutely incredible. They're actually better than Nelson Cruz's numbers in some aspects against lefties. So Springer is a guy that I definitely want to get some exposure to against Tyler Skaggs here. I love him as a one-off. I'm not going to play too much of the Astros here. They do have kind of a suppressed run total against Skaggs, who's been throwing pretty well. And isn't, you know, it is in Los Angeles. So it's kind of a tough, it's more of a pitcher's park than anything else. But Springer is the guy I would have interest in that game. So that's where I'm looking at in the outfield. Brandon, anything else you want to mention? We want to come back to you here.
Oh, yeah. So I love the Zimmer call. I mean, he's only 2,100 on FanDuel. I'm not sure how much he is on DK, but ever since Bruce was acquired, they haven't really been putting him in the lineup, but I expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow. And I love the Pham call. Pham is a lefty masher. Who else? Give me some Brandon Moss. He is very good. Woba versus Clevenger. He has a 2,000 slugging percentage and a 2.5 OPS percentage and a 1,000 Woba versus Clevenger. So just because he's cheap, I'll probably have him in a couple lineups. And let's see. I'm not really looking at any of the lefties in Colorado. So I know Newcomb is pretty good at neutralizing the lefties. So I probably won't be looking at anyone like Cargo or Blackman or anything like that. Upton, great call. He's been mashing lefties. I take him every time versus a lefty. I actually had him versus Rich Hill the other day where he had two homers. So he was like, what, 1%? So I'm going to keep on rolling the dice with him. And that's about it for me. Obviously, you gotta have Hoskins in some lines, because if you're playing multiple lines, you gotta have him in a couple lines because he's on fire.
Yep. All right. Anything else you want to mention in the outfield here, Travis?
Nope, that's about it for me. I think we touched them all.
All right. So with that, we're gonna move on to the stack of the day segment. This is where we talk about our favorite stacks on the slate. I think there's a good amount of routes we can go. And Travis, since your route has been so clear throughout this podcast, I think we'll let you kick this one off and tell us, you know, the big mystery of who your stack of the day is here.
Yeah, no, I'm stacking the Phillies. Yeah, no, right. No, I'm kidding. I'm loading up on the Cubs, man. Edward Lively, Ben Lively. I don't know what this guy's name is. It changes every day. I've heard, you know, I see it everywhere throughout the industry. His name's Edward. His name's Ben. I don't know, care who he is. He is a guy that is not going to be lively on the mound. He's going to get crushed, I'm sure. So give me all the Cubs. I'll just load up on them. And I don't know. I think they're going to be chalk. They probably will be, but you never know, man. Like, I don't know. There's some other options out there that people might end up going to. I don't know. Probably are going to end up being chalky, but I don't know. I'm hoping maybe people go some other routes and maybe I get them lower on. But again, I can find other places to be different. I can find ways to be different within their lineup. So love that lineup all around. Excited once that, you know, once I get the Roto-Grinders lineup alert that says the Cubs lineup is out, I'll be, you know, open up my phone real quick to see, hey, what's the lineup like? Because I want to find ways to take down a GPP with them, because I think they're the best team, you know, to stack tomorrow. What about you, Josh? Who's your favorite team?
For me, this is going to be one of those rare moments where this happens on the weekend grind, but I'm actually going to have to agree with you on this one, Travis, and I'm going to have to double down with you on the Cubs. It just feels like too good of a spot for them against Lively, especially with all these hard-hitting lefties in the lineup. Just, you know, going with Rizzo and Schwarber and Happ and Avila, like, it feels too right on the slate to not stack them up. And even if they're chalky, I'm still going to have interest in stacking them up. I'll try to beat everyone else's Cub stacks with where I go in the other lineup spots. So that's where I'm going to go, is with the Cubs for my stack of the day. Brandon, how about you? Who's your stack of the day on the slate?
Yeah, so obviously it wouldn't be fun if we all went Cubs. So I think I'm going to go ahead and stick with my picks, and I'm going to go with St. Louis versus Blake Snell. I know Blake Snell, he had a very good game last game, but I just like all the St. Louis players. Matt Carpenter, he actually hits lefties well. He's only 3,400. Tommy Pham, I expect him to bat second, and he's a lefty masher. DeJong, Dexter Fowler, switch hitter, Molina, Giorgio, Piscotty, Wong. I mean, they're all good players. So, yeah, it's clear weather. It's 83 degrees expected. Clear-cut St. Louis for me.
All right, very cool. Travis, any last thoughts on the slate before we sign out?
No, that's about it. I like your call with St. Louis, though. Brandon, I've actually been playing around some stacks while we've been on the show, and that was when I was messing around with throwing in with the Cubs, too. So I definitely agree that's a good one. So I'm excited for the slate, though. It seems like one that should be a fun one. Definitely enjoyed having you on, Brandon. It was a good time, obviously. And congrats again on queuing for the live final. Glad you enjoyed it and got to hang out with Scooter Jeanette and have a good time out there. I don't really chase live finals. It's not something I really do much, but I still have not been to one, just because it's just something I don't do. But we'll get you
out there for one of them, Travis. We're gonna do it. We'll make it happen.
I'll get it one day. But I said again, I don't really chase them. It's not my MO, so I don't really go out there.
It's not an amazing accolade, but it gives you some networking and you meet people. So I obviously met Josh, and that's how I was able to be on this podcast. So I can't really complain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're very happy to have you on. Is there any last thoughts you want to mention here, Brandon, before we sign out?
Yeah, it should be a good day tomorrow. There's a lot of good pitching to attack, and I'll expect me to have a lot of Buck Farmer.
Buck Farmer is the guy. So thank you guys all for listening. Hope you enjoy your Saturday. Hope you enjoy your DFS contests. Hope you enjoy the fight, Mayweather-McGregor. That should be a fun time to finally watch. Give us all a follow on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis, M-A-N-G-O-N-E. And you can follow our guest here, Brandon, at B-Dib, at B-D-I-B-24. Give him some love. We're very happy to have him on here. Definitely glad I met him out in Chicago. Wish you all the best of luck in your future DFS endeavors, Brandon. And, you know, one day maybe we'll have you back on the show. It was great having you on here.
Yeah, I'd love that, man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, one question, actually, before we get off. So, who are you guys taking, Mayweather, McGregor?
Oh, man. it's tough for me to see Mayweather losing this one. Travis, you have any thoughts on that one?
I mean, I think everyone picking McGregor's a donkey, but that's just me. I get the value. I get the value of, like, the betting part right. of it. Like, hey, I understand that whole perspective, but, like, I just don't see how Mayweather loses. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, we'll see. I'm excited for, like, the buildup of it. The buildup's been kind of what it is. It's been fun, like, you know, all the talking about it. But now I'm just ready to have the fight come on and see what happens and see how things go on from, you know, basically afterwards and see how McGregor, like, just decides to take his career out afterwards. So I'm excited to see how everything just plays out now.
Yeah, who do you have, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm take Mayweather. I mean, it's a amateur boxer versus one of the best ever, pound for pound, best boxers to ever live. So, I mean, he's 49-0, and I expect it to be 50-0.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good way to end the career. But
I think that's the record, 50-0.
Yep, there it is. So, all right, that's like I said earlier. It's going to be a fun Saturday with the fight and with the game, so hope you guys enjoy it. Like I said, also give us a follow on Twitter and interact with us over there. We love talking with you guys. For my co-host Travis Mangone and my guest Brandon B-Dib, we're out. See you tomorrow, Roto-Grinders.